Hey, I like the way the Pacers play, though. They are scrappy and hard. And it's the third with a three.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Quick one for you today as the Dubs beat the Indiana Pacers. Give them a nice beatdown as a team like the Warriors should. A couple players resting against the Mavs. And some defensive numbers that bode well for the Warriors moving forward. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm Charles T. Hamilton, your host. Dubs beat the Pacers last night by a tune of 23 points, as the Warriors should against, I hesitate to call them an inferior team, but an injured team. How about that? It's exactly what they're supposed to do against an injured team like the Pacers. And that's what they did. They get the win, 112-89. And it wasn't what you would expect in a game like this, just in the fact that, you know, no one scored more than 20. A lot of double-digit scores, but no one went off individually. They shared the ball like they have recently, and it was beautiful. 32 assists on 44 makes. As they've continued to do that recently, starting to look a lot more like the Golden State Warriors that we're kind of used to with the ball movement and the cutting. The cutting has been so good recently, which has been missing over the last 50 games, honestly, where maybe it's because they didn't feel they had the distributor to do so, which, I don't know, between Draymond and KD, I feel like you could have done it, but what do I know? But with Bogut back, with Boogie back, learning the system and kind of finding his place in the system, it's been great. They've looked like themselves. They've looked like the old cutting, ball sharing Warriors that we've seen before. Last night's game started out pretty rough, honestly. It was an ugly, ugly first quarter. The Dubs started. Klay opens with an air ball, just a complete air ball. And then two turnovers to follow. Klay took the first three shots, went 0 of 3. The defense was playing well early, and that was a theme throughout the game, and also a theme throughout their last handful of games, and something that bodes well for the playoffs. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Klay started the game 0 for 6 in the first, and they just kept forcing it. And he was 0 for 6 when I think KD had two shots. Steph hadn't taken a single shot yet. It's really, I don't know, kind of frustrating when they decide to force it to Klay so early. And it's kind of a theme. It's kind of what they do. And look, when he's knocking them down, it's great. Obviously, it's perfect. But when he's going 0 for 4, 0 for 5, 0 for 6, stop forcing it to him. Just my opinion. Or keep forcing it. I mean, it worked out. They won by 23. But man, it was a terrible, terrible first quarter. 6 minutes in, Klay had taken 6 of the team's 11 shots. KD was 2 for 2. Cousins was 1 for 3, but he did manage to get to the line a couple times. And Steph was 0 for 0. He took his first shot at Steph, took his first shot at 3-11. 3 minutes, 11 seconds left in the first quarter. It was just ugly, ugly first quarter all around, except defensively. I will give them credit on defense. They did play well. But yeah, in that first quarter, they ended up 19-19. That's how the first quarter ended. It was bad. It was really bad. Steph, he did get some shots late, but he didn't fare much better than Klay. Steph went 1 for 5, Klay 0 for 6, Boogie went 2 for 4, but he did get to the free throw line twice, went 2 for 3. Draymond 1 for 1, KD 2 for 3. And KD going 2 for 3, maybe you try and find KD a little more. And that's kind of been a theme recently, at least on these podcasts and during the games, is you know, KD has been really passive lately, and not in a disconnected kind of way. Not in a, oh, I'm out of it and don't want to play with these guys kind of way. It's just he's really deferring. And I don't know. I mean, it's worked. He's got to pick his spots, I guess. The problem is you just have to make sure the spots are right that he does pick. And I don't know. It's tough to complain about it because of the success recently. But yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see a little more aggressiveness out of him. And I don't know if forcing it's the right term, but I'd just like to see more out of him, I guess. But who knows? What do I know? Very little. In the second, Dubs took off a little bit here. KD again went 2 for 3, but was able to get to the line. Clay started to pick it up, went 4 of 7, knocked down to 3, got to the line once, which was big for Clay. Clay did have 11 points in the second quarter. KD had 7, and the team was able to build a 10-point lead. Cousins also had 7. DeMarcus Cousins has been playing great, there's no doubt about it, and the fact that he came back after missing 2 games looking fresh and spry and all that is great. But, man, he's had the Pacers number this year. Played him twice. I think he's averaging 20.5 points, 8.5 rebounds, and 4 assists against the Pacers, who are a team with a solid front court. Miles Turner, Domantas Sabonis, both good players. It's just tough to deal with a guy like Boogie with his skill and size, which has been great to see that it's, you know, rounding into shape, rounding back to form. Because he's clearly the best center they've had ever since Wilt, maybe. Even though he's not completely 100%, you're starting to see why he is so valuable to this team and why the signing was such a big deal. His low post game is ridiculous. They've never had anyone that can finish like him in the low post. And if that jump shot starts falling, forget about it. It's unstoppable. So Boogie had a great game, as I mentioned, in the second quarter. They really started to get it together. They end up with a 10-point lead in the second. In the third, Steph goes off. Steph really enjoys that third quarter, and it's cool to see that that's kind of back because it wasn't, I don't know, it just hasn't been that great. It hasn't been the explosive third quarters that we're used to. He did only go 4 of 10, but 4 of 7 from 3, so that's, you know, 12 total points. Pretty damn good. Draymond, actually his best quarter, he had 8 points and even knocked down a 3. KD, same thing. KD was consistent, if nothing else, 2 of 3 again. He went 2 of 3 in each of the first 3 quarters. It was just a game where everyone contributed. Everyone was playing well. Andre Iguodala, I think he had like 1,000 dunks this game. He was really getting it done. The transition game was really working. It was, kind of vintage Warriors, I guess you could say. They end up beating the Pacers by 16 in the third. So they're up 26 going into the fourth. And, the starters still got a couple minutes in the fourth, but not a lot. I mean, Steph didn't play in the fourth. Neither did Draymond or KD, but DeMarcus and Clay got a couple minutes with that second unit that they usually play with. And Clay finished solid again in the fourth, 7 points, 3 of 5 from 3. One of the solid things to come out of the game, out of the garbage time at least, was Alphonso McKinney got a couple minutes, and he ended up going 2 of 2 from 3. I know it's not that big of a deal. It was garbage time. But for a guy who has been missing his threes lately, it's good to see him knock him down, because if they could pick one player, one bench player to rely on, they would prefer it be Alphonso McKinney because of his defensive versatility, because he's 6'8", because he's a wing. He just can do, if he's playing better, if he's playing well, he can do more than, say, if Jerebko's playing well or if Quinn Cook is playing well. So they would love to see Alphonso McKinney find what he had early in the season, especially from three, because he's doing everything else that he usually does. But if the threes aren't falling, that's a really big deal for this team, especially for McKinney coming off the bench. I mentioned a couple of other bench players like Jonas Jerebko, who has found himself continuing to get minutes recently, and he went 2 of 3 from 3, has been solid over the last couple games that he's been called upon. So, I mean, that's also a positive. Quinn Cook struggled in this one, went 1 of 6, 0 of 4 from 3, which it happens, but he's also been solid the last, 5 games that they've been called upon. And that's the other thing, too. I remember every year people are, oh, well, this guy's unplayable in the playoffs and that guy's unplayable in the playoffs. And I specifically remember JaVale McGee being talked about all the time, or Zaza or whoever, Ian Clark. And they all played. They all played. Steve Kerr will continue to play his guys. He really doesn't tighten up until he feels he needs to. He doesn't do it just because it's the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised if Quinn continued to get a couple minutes here and there. You know, can you come in and knock down a three? Perfect. You know, can you do what Ian Clark used to do? Jonas Jerebko, can you come in and knock down a three? Like I said, if McKinney starts playing well, he'll be getting, 15 to 20 minutes a night. It wasn't until the finals when Steve Kerr would really tighten up his rotations, maybe Western Conference finals. But throughout those first two rounds, he still continues to play his normal rotations. So that's also something to look for. Once they get there, there are still 11 games left for the Dubs. And luckily for them, they are hitting their stride. They beat the Pacers 112-89 last night. Nice little 23-point win. Going to take a quick break, come back, play some post-game sound, talk about their upcoming game against the Mavs, and also some of the defensive numbers that I mentioned before that bode well for these Warriors. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Dubs beat the Pacers last night, 112-89. They have won four out of their last five against some solid opponents, too. The fact that they are hitting their stride at this point bodes really well for them. And I know, 2 weeks ago I was nervous about it. I just kept saying, they have this many games left and this is when they'll start to need to find it. And it looks like they're finding it, which is awesome. Because that run of, losing, what they lose, five of eight, and then, five of 10 or six of 11, whatever it was. The poor streak has hopefully been snapped. 11 games left. These Warriors have a chance to really, really find their groove and go into the playoffs on a pretty big winning streak, or a big winning record at least, going 13-3 over their last 16, something like that. After last night's game, Klay was interviewed, obviously. I did his media availability, and you all know how big of a fan of Klay Thompson I am. There's also a funny moment in there that I just have to play. So this is Klay's media availability from last night.
Well, we're all healthy, which helps a lot. And very deep now, the acquisition of Andrew. We're just really locked in these last regular season games because you don't want any slips or mistakes in the playoffs. We want to feel good about ourselves. That's great.
You've been, Bogut's been back for several games, but to see him back here, get the applause that he got, I'm sure that didn't surprise you. What are you feeling when you're hearing that applause and playing with him again on this court?
I'm happy for him. Very happy. He's been through a lot after he left. Bounced around, he got hurt. To see him back healthy, and he's going to add so much toughness and moxie to our team, especially off the bench to back up DeMarcus. What a great fit for us, and it was like second nature. He didn't need to learn any of the plays. And he deserved that ovation. I'm really happy that the fans gave him that due because he was a huge part of why we won our first championship. He was an anchor in the middle, and he'll do the same as playoff run for us.
Klay, what changed for you guys after that first quarter? I mean, both teams only had 19 points after the first quarter. You guys really turned on the second and third, and then before you know it, you're up by, 30-something points?
Well, I finally decided to make a shot, so I felt good. And our defense is great. We, when we're able to get out in transition, get the crowd into it, it's so much fun to be a part of. And DeMarcus, I mean, he was a monster on the block, just a very efficient night. He made it look easy.
It looks like the coaching staff is putting you and DeMarcus together a lot, especially to start that second and fourth. Is there a chemistry there, and how is that working with you two as a duo?
I mean, it's great. I love playing with DeMarcus. He sets great screens. He catches everything you throw at him. And He's just an amazing presence out there with his toughness and his competitiveness. And he's going to be such a big part of what we do in the playoffs because he's such a low block force, especially when our outside shot's not falling with great regularity. We're just going to throw it down to him, and he's going to get buckets.
There's Clay post-game, happy about the ovation for Andrew Bogut and just what Andrew Bogut brings to the team, the added depth. I don't know if you noticed, after the first question that Clay answered, there was a long pause of silence. And Clay's like, oh, this is beautiful. I'm getting up to leave. And then Tim Kawakami jumps in with another question. Clay was not very pleased about it. The guy hates doing media, but he's good at it because he's Clay. He's funny. You know, what can I say? But the thing is, it was defense last night, and Clay talked about that. Andre Iguodala did the post-game interview with Kareth Burke as well. He mentioned the same thing. Here's what Andre had to say.
Andre, Indiana is a playoff team. They like to play an old-school style of game. How did you take them out of their comfort zone?
Defensively, we were really good. You know, we held them around 32% in the first half. It didn't look like we were playing well, but we were playing really well. We got shots we wanted, they just didn't fall. Similar to the San Antonio game, you know, we just couldn't make shots, but we didn't let it affect our defense. So our defense stepped up big tonight. We had a lot of assists, and I think the ball was just popping, and we continued to do that, and we finally made shots.
It's 19 assists on 21 field goals made in the first half, but you guys are healthy right now. How are you feeling about using these remaining games as runway to put that polish on your playoff hunt?
Yeah, well, it's a close race in the West, so we got to continue to win games. Home court is advantage. Home court is an advantage for us, and we haven't played as well at home this year, so we want to finish it out right, do what we got to do. It seems like everybody's trying to get their rhythm, which is good. Clay's getting his rhythm. He's putting it up, but he's feeling really good. Steph made some shots there in the third quarter, so everybody's kind of getting to their zone. Draymond's doing a really good job of kind of getting to his mold, and he's knocking down some shots, so we're getting there.
You're in your zone. You're healthy. 11 points, 2 steals, the dunk. Are you playing with that joy right now?
I'm almost there. So I had it, and I kind of lost it, but it was raining a little bit. The sun's back out. If I get on the golf course, my basketball game is a direct reflection of how many rounds of golf I can get. So the more rounds of golf, the better I play. So you got to get some sunshine.
Okay, thank you.
So Andre mentioned that the team played well all throughout that first, even though it was ugly 19-19 after the first. He said they were getting their shots. Defensively, they were great the entire game, no question. But he said he reminded them of the San Antonio game, but they were able to turn it around and get it together eventually. And as you heard, Andre just, he needs to golf more. So I don't know, Steve Kerr, if you're listening, get Andre more golf days. Like, it's that simple, man. I don't argue with him. I mentioned some defensive numbers for these guys and how well they're playing right now. And over the last 5 games where they've gone 4-1, they have put up a defensive rating of 100.6, which is great, and opponent shooting percentages of 40% from the field and 29% from 3. And that is also part of their 2 best defensive performances of the season, where they put up an 85.4 rating against OKC and 88.1 against the Pacers. Now, the fact that they're playing so well defensively also helps the fact that they, you know, they've struggled offensively at times. You know, the defense in that first quarter was so good that it didn't matter that Clay went 0-for-6 or that they could only score 19 points because they were able to hold the Pacers to 19 points. And the thing is with this team is it was always the question of, can they flip the switch? And it's just a dangerous game to play that you can trust that at one point we'll just say, okay, now we're ready to go. Now we're going to play to our potential. And even though it's dangerous, it looks like they're able to do it. We'll see if it can continue. Hopefully it does, because that would bode really well for them in the playoffs, through the playoffs, and, you know, to another championship. But it's just a dangerous game to play, the flip-switching game. But it looks like they've done it. And one last thing that gets overlooked with this team defensively is their shot blocking. They are the best shot blocking team in basketball for 3 years running now. And that's all been without Bogut, without a real rim protector. They have more blocks than any team in the NBA, but they don't have an individual player that's in the top 27 league-wide in shot blocks. Durant is 28th behind Maxi Kleba. So that should tell you something. But for the last 3 years, they're the top block shot blocking team in the NBA, and that's continued this year. It's incredibly impressive for a team without a shot blocker. Going to take one last break, come back, talk about this matchup against the Mavs, who's going to be sitting out, who's playing, and wrap this thing up for the day. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. What's good? Warriors taking on the Mavs on Saturday. Should be fun-ish. Luka Doncic plays well, but at the same time, he is starting to slow down a little bit. He's a little tired, which is understandable. The guy's played a billion games between here and EuroLeague and all that other, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't follow EuroLeague basketball very closely, but he's played a ton over the last couple of years, and I do think it is starting to slow him down a little bit. As far as the game goes on Saturday, Steph, Bogut, and Sean Livingston are all going to be sitting out, which to me makes sense for Steph for sure. I've been saying for a couple weeks now, I thought he should have sat out against Phoenix, but this is definitely one where he's going to get some rest, and we'll get the Quinn Cook Luka Doncic matchup we've all been dying for. Good opportunity for Quinn as well, who's had a solid stretch over the last handful of games, but we'll also get to see him handle, you know, 25, 30 minutes. And he's done well when he does get his spot starts. That also means, you know, more minutes for Jordan Bell and Jarebko because Bogut will be out, and Looney, obviously. And then with Sean Livingston out, I'm sure we'll see more of McKinney. Maybe Damian Lee will be brought up as well. League pass picks for tonight are important, not just for entertainment purposes, but at this moment, the Oklahoma City Thunder, San Antonio Spurs, Utah Jazz, and LA Clippers all have identical records. They're all 42-30, and that's the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th seed. And at this moment, the Clippers are in the 8th seed. Because of tiebreakers, I know it's whatever. They're all 42-30, though. And on top of that, Portland, 44-27, 2.5 games ahead of all of them. So that's still up in the air as well. But at this moment, Clippers are the 8th seed. I think the Warriors are good with that. I think they would prefer the Spurs or Clippers to be in the 8th seed. But right now it goes OKC 5, San Antonio 6, Utah 7, Clippers 8. And so for league pass picks tonight, there's going to be a little theme. Clips and Cavs, interesting because of the race in the West for the 8th seed. Thunder, Raptors, same reason. Spurs, Rockets, exact same reason. So three out of the four teams that are all tied for 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th in the West are playing tonight. So we're going to keep an eye on that moving forward, not just because of how it falls and the, you know, that just being interesting, but it does affect the Warriors and who they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. And you know what? I'll throw one more in there. You know what? Three's enough. That's enough homework for you guys on a Friday night. Thank you guys so much for listening. Come back when I do another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.